Welcome to Torah Timach Hanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we will be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek Lamed Ches. In this 38th Perek of the Sefer, finally, God answers Iyov and begins to talk with him. We have to ask ourselves, why now? What's changed? And maybe, as we've said before, maybe now he has gone through enough maturing that he's ready to listen to the word of God. The Ramban says that now he has actually achieved a level of teshuvah. Before, in response to his suffering, he curses and he has things to say that are kfira, they're heretical concepts. But when he listens to the words of Elihu and he chooses to remain silent, that is, as we say, shtika kahoda adami, silence is as if you accept those words. That shows his acceptance and his full embracing of Elihu's worldview. That was his teshuvah. And as a result, it's now that he merits to have nevuah, to have prophecy. And this is a prophetic vision that's given to him. Alternatively, we could possibly say, and we'll explore this soon, that maybe Hashem has been speaking all along, but he just wasn't hearing it. And maybe the voice of Hashem that appears here has been present throughout from the very, very beginning of the Sefer. And now is when Iyov is ready to silently close his own mouth and listen to Hashem. And so with great excitement, we open up Perek Lamed Ches to finally hear the words of God to Iyov. And it tells us, Vaya'an Hashem es Iyov. Hashem responds to Iyov, Min ha-sa'ara, from the storm. And he says, and the question we'd ask ourselves is, why is he appearing from the storm? And one of the things which we've been saying from the beginning of the Sefer is that there's a lot of parallels between Iyov and Moshe Rabbeinu. We started off the Perek talking about how Iyov was perhaps written by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Sefer, and Iyov lived maybe at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. We also noted throughout the Sefer that there's a lot of parallels between Iyov and Avraham Avinu. And the truth is, this concept of Hashem appearing min ha-sa'ara, from inside of the storm, is something which we see evident in Moshe as well as in Avraham. In Moshe Rabbeinu, we hear when Moshe goes up the mountain, it tells us in Shmos Perek Chaf, V'ya'amod ha'am merachok, the nation is standing from far away at Har Sinai, U'Moshe nigash el ha'arafel, and Moshe goes up into the arafel, into this gray mist, into the storm. Asher sham ha'elokim, because that's where God is. God is in the storm. We have to ask ourselves, what does that mean? Similarly, with Avraham Avinu, we find the Medrash. Medrash Rabbah describes how the way that Avraham found God is compared to a man who sees a beautiful palace, a bira, and he sees this bira dolekes, the palace is burning. And he turns around and he says, wow, it can't be that there is such a beautiful palace that's burning down and there is no master, there's no one overseeing this. And there are other ways of understanding this Medrash, but one of the classic ways of reading it is exactly this. Avraham looks at tragedy. He looks at the Sa'ara, the storm, the Arafel, and he sees tragedy. He says, how could it be that there is tragedy in such a beautiful world without someone overseeing and overlooking and guiding this world in a specific direction? And so too here, Hashem speaks to Iyov, min ha-sa'ara, from inside of the storm. And we have to remind ourselves that sometimes Hashem is speaking to us from dafka, inside of the tragedy, not despite it, but inside of it. Remember, how did the story start? The story started with a storm, a crazy storm that smashed down his house and killed all of his children. And min ha-sa'ara hazeh, from inside of that, that's where he can find the word of God. This connects so beautifully to how we ended off last perek, about in the place of chaos, that's where we can find God. And so Hashem turns to him and he says, Mizeh machshich etza b'milin bli da'as. Who is that? Who is this person who is darkening wisdom? And what wisdom is he darkening? So maybe some understand it, Rashi understands it, as he's undoing what I said about him. I was the one who gave the Eitzah, who gave the wisdom, that he's a Tam, a Yashar, a Yirei Elokim, a Sarmera, all of these beautiful things at the beginning of the Sefer, and he's undoing them by blaspheming in the horrible way that he is. The Malbim says, no, the Machshich Eitzah is denying Hashkacha Pratis, denying God's divine providence in the world. Either way, Hashem turns to him and he says, Ezar na kegever chalatzecha, gird your loins, man up. And I'm going to ask you some questions and you'll tell me what you think. And here Chazal tells us this is a hint. The fact that he could get up and put on his belt is a reference to the fact that he was actually healed of his illness at this point. And once again, indicating maybe that he is doing teshuva and he is repenting and ultimately achieving full atonement for his averas. And so the beginning of what's about to continue, the rest of the next couple prakim, is a vast, vivid, and very graphic description of God's divine providence and in nature, and how nature works. We're just going to pick up on, for a limited time, some of the more beautiful or the more interesting of the imageries. But there's an incredible amount, jam-packed prakim, three in a row of Hashem describing nature. Let's take a look. Pasuk Vav describes, he says, Eifo hayita b'yas diaretz, where were you when I set the foundations of the earth? Haged im yadata bina. Do you have any idea what you're talking about? You're here asking me, and other of his friends have made this argument already, about where was God, where is God now? But you weren't there when I established the world. Misam mimadeha kiteda. Who went and put down the measurements of planet Earth? Do you know? Or minatalea kavo, set down the foundational lines of what was going to be the Earth. You don't know what you're talking about. Amma adoneha hatba'u. And what are the pillars of the world? And here the Ramban says there's actually the mountains, the primary features of nature. Or miyara even pinatao, who set into place the cornerstone of all of reality. And he goes on to describe that not just the setting down of the basic foundations of the world, but then he talks about the creation of water and dry land. And Psukim Ches to Yud Beis describe this creation of water and dry land. And there's kind of two ways to read it. I'm going to read it like the Malbim and then explain there is actually another way to read it. The Malbim describes the creation of dry land in a beautiful way. That we know first there was water and then the dry land was created. He explains it as if it's a woman giving birth. The water here being the woman and the child being the dry land. And it says, Vayasech bedlatayim yam, I spread out the doors of the sea. Begecho mirechem yatsa, gecho understands to be the belly, the gichon. From the belly of the womb of the mother, out came out the land. Besumi anan levusho, and as the land came out, I dressed it in clouds. Va'arafel, Chatulato, and I put a diaper on it. It was the darkness and the shadows. The eshbor alav chuki. So here the Malbim plays on the word veeshbor, which means to break. But here he understands it as the mashber, which is the birthing stone, right? And the birthing stool. And he says, my laws ran that birthing room. I was the midwife and the baby and the child. It was all my laws, right? Va'asim bereach u'dlatayim, and I put limitations on the water so that it could birth the land. V'omar, and I said to the water, ad po tavo v'lo tosif, you will go up till here and no more. Po yashit go'on galecha, up until now you will be able to spread out the might of your waves. And the way that the Metzudas David reads this is not that it was the eshbor alav chuki, as in the birthing room, but rather I put laws up and I told the water it cannot pass beyond a certain point. And it couldn't do it. And the dlatayim and the doors here, which he describes as like the rocks, which break the waterfront, so that the land can continue to exist. And I think what's so interesting about this dichotomy, this duality of this image, is that on the one hand we're hearing a birth scene. On the other hand, we're hearing a boundary scene. No water, you cannot pass. This is where water, land exists. And really, this is really the message to Eof, that something which can be full of din, judgment, justice, and boundaries could also be a moment of birth, could also be a moment of creation. So too in Eof's own personal thunderstorm, right? This is a moment which on the one hand is tragic and limited and bounded, and at the same time, something good can be born of this in a powerful and beautiful way. Isn't it both? And so he says, Hamiyemecha tzivisa boker, have you ever created morning, Eof? Yudata hashachar mekomo, have you ever told the sun exactly where it should rise? As we know, every day the sun rises in a slightly different place in the east. And exactly, have you ever done the calculations of where that should be? Pasuk Yud Gimel to Tes Vav describe this moment of daybreak where the sun is rising, and it compares it, according to Rashi, to the sun rising of the ultimate future day, the world to come. As we know, we daven every morning, Or Chadash Al Tzion Ta'ir, God let a new light shine or rise up over Tzion. And that's not just a physical sunshine, but it's the eternal light. So what happens when the eternal light shines? Le'echaz b'knafot ha'aretz v'yina'aru rasha'im mimena. It's such a beautiful description. It's as if you could grab hold of the corners of the world and shake out all the wicked people from it. It's like, the Rashi says, it's like a clothing garment. We've got some schmutz or crumbs in the garment. So what do? Everyone shakes it out, and the rasha'im are the schmutz that are going to be disappeared as the sun comes out and shakes off all the nighttime the muck and grime of the wicked people. The yimana merushaim oram. And as the light shines, the wicked people don't get any light because they don't deserve to be in the world to come. Uzra ramat shaber. And their strong and mighty arms, which were so terrifying in their lifetime, are going to be broken and irrelevant over here. Pasuk chaf aleph. The psukim continue to describe the creation of the sky, the creation of thunderstorms, the creation of water. Pasuk Chaf Aleph says, Yadata ki az tivaled umispar yamecha rabim. Throughout this perek, there's a lot of questions. Where were you? Efo hayita? Hayadata? Did you know? Havata? Did you bring? Here it doesn't have a hay at the beginning, the question word. It just says yadata. You knew that you were born back then at the beginning of time, and your days are many. So here Rav Schwab says it's sarcastic. And sarcastically Hashem saying, obviously you know all of this because you were there from the beginning of time, right? And the Mitzvah David says, no, the hay is implied. Where were you? But the Ramban, obviously, because remember, he understands this whole Sefer as really being revolving around Gilgulim, reincarnation, says it's a statement. Yadata, if you knew that you were ki az, Tivaled, you were created before any of this stuff was created. You were there from the beginning. You just don't understand how much you can understand and how much you can actually grasp. The next couple of psukim talk about thunderstorms, specifically talk about hail and snow, and how hail and snow are used by Hashem as a mechanism of war. Pasuk Chaf Bez, Habata El Otsarot Shaleg, have you ever come to see my treasure troves full of snow? V'otsaros Barad Tiren, my, again, treasure chests full of hail. Asher Chasachti Le'etzar, I have gathered up and I'm like holding on to them for a time of suffering. Le'yom Krav U'milchama, to use them in a day of war, in a day of battle. And what are we talking about? So Chazal talk about all sorts of things. We know that in the time when Yehoshua, in Sefer Yehoshua, is fighting against the Emori, Hashem miraculously made hailstones come down from heaven to defeat the Emori, right? Similarly, we know the 10 plagues, obviously, that there was Barad Yechezkel. At the end of Sefer Yechezkel, talks about how at the end of time, God will use hail as a mechanism to fight against our enemies. Rav Schwab says we don't even have to look that far back in our recent history. We know that the Nazis were famously defeated by the Russian winter at Stalingrad, right? And nature is, at the end of the day, especially winter, an incredible weapon in war. And that is what Hashem's talking about. Pesukim Lamed Aleph to Lamed Gimel mention the zodiac. As we said, remember, Eof is a big believer in these things. So Hashem is going to say, even if you believe in them, I'm the one who controls them. Here we go, he says. He says, Hatakasher ma'adanot kima. These are different types of different zodiac signs that he's referring to. He says, can you bind up the chains of kima? Or moshchot kasil tepateach? Or can you open up the cords or the strings of Ksil, which is another type of zodiac. Hatotzi mazarot be'ito. Mazarot, some people understand to be the mazalot, or it's mazarot va'ayish. Ayish is another type of, it's like this big bear, which is another type of zodiac sign. Albanah tanchem, and she's this bear with her sons. You might believe in the zodiac, but who do you think put the zodiac up there? Who do you think arranged and guided and created the system that you so firmly believe in? Pasuk Lamed Vav is a famous pasuk because a bracha was created as a result of the words of this pasuk. Hashem says, Mi shat betuchot chochma, Iov, Let me ask you, who do you think has put wisdom in the inner parts of the human being? Or mina tan la sechvi vina? And who has given? And the sechvi, as we know, is a famously could even mean a reference to the mind, the heart, right? The inner workings of a human being. Or it could be a reference to the rooster. And the bina, the understanding, is this intuition to understand that the morning has come. And the rooster can, even before the sun has risen, starts making its noises to announce that the morning has come. And similarly, inside of the heart of a human being, we have this thing called hope that keeps us alive through the darkness and allows us to wait with ever-anticipating certainty that the sun will rise again. Perek Lamed Ches ends with a description of the natural kingdom, different animals that Hashem creates and how they are powerful and interesting and diverse and different. But really it runs on into Perek Lamed Ches, because Lamed Ches continues with a description of this natural kingdom. So we're going to save those pieces just because of time to really talk about in Lamed Ches. We're going to deal with Hashem's description of the animal kingdom and how it plays its role in God's divine plan of the world. Our learning today was sponsored by the Nachumi Chavruta in loving memory of David Hanan ben Michael Verachel, whose short years, despite immense challenges, were filled with Torah, family, and joy. His life left an indelible mark on our community and beyond. May the schus of our learning give his neshama an aliyah, and may his legacy continue to inspire.